2026, the year of growth.
We learn from the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 28 and Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 that it is in the heart and mind of God for every person who believes and obeys to multiply and become more. Therefore, get ready for 2026, the year of growth, where in every season they must be fruit, according to Revelation chapter 22 verse 2. The first place we need to grow is in our spiritual life. Spiritual growth is the function of obedience to the Spirit of God. This means the Holy Spirit is the only means of growth in our Christian life. The way of obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit is a way of blessings indeed. How can we grow if we don't know His ways? The University of the Holy Spirit is the high school of learning whereby spiritual truths are discerned and imbibed. It is time to learn the ways of the Spirit and be fully prepared for the blessings to come. Are you ready? The best is yet to come, indeed.
2026, the year of growth.
God has a calling in the life of every single person. That's the very short encouragement I want to give to everybody today. What is your calling and the gift of God in your life? That's absolutely important to understand that. Romans chapter 8. Nothing happens for nothing. There is a purpose of God, the unseen hand of God in the affairs of all human beings. So let's go to Romans chapter 8. I will start from verse 28. So about Paul, Apostle Paul. I start from verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those called according to His purpose. Take note of that verse. When God called you in your life, meaning He has a purpose in your life. There is a purpose, a hidden purpose in your life. Today we have people all over the world, heading from one place to another. They don't know their purpose, they don't know their goal. But the moment you discover the calling of God, the purpose of God in your life will have meaning. You will live a life focused, determined to pursue the goal of God in God's goal for your life, not for anybody else. He said, I repeat, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to God's purpose. Verse 29. Those whom God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30. Moreover, whom God predestined, He also called. Whom He called, then He also justified. And whom God justified, He also glorified. We are talking about the purpose and the calling of God in your life. People are asking, what is my calling? What is God's calling for my life? There is a process every person goes through. You are born with something within you, deep within you, which is the purpose of God for your life, the calling of God for your life. How do I know my calling? How do I enter my calling? Am I called by God? Why am I doing this? Which life am I living on earth? The scripture says, if I start from verse 28, everything, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. We all know this scripture. But if you forget the last one, it only is applied to those who are called according to His purpose. That means the fact that you are called by God does not mean you will not go through adversities. Sometimes we go through tough situation, difficult situation in the wilderness. Sometimes we think we have failed everything and the end has come. Little do we know that there is an unseen hand of God in the affairs of life. Sometimes God allows trouble, hardship to come to our life. Why? That's the process of God. First, predestined. Then God will call you. When he calls you, he will justify you. After justification, he will what? Glorify you. That's the process we go. But you can see it starts by predestination. Let me take the case of Apostle Paul just to explain. We all know who Paul was. When you read your Bible in Acts chapter 9, you will see that Saul, that was his name, rejected the way. He called the gospel the way. Because he never understood it, he rejected the gospel and tried to fight the gospel to stop it. Persecuting the church, going to Damascus, to other country, to arrest believers. And he even said he forced them to blaspheme the name of Jesus, to renounce their faith. And when Stephen was put to death, Saul was there and voted for Stephen to be executed. And he was holding the clothes of those who were stoning Stephen to death. That was Saul. The same Saul said something very strange in Galatians chapter 1. I'm going to Galatians chapter 1. Why the Bible says all things work for good for those who are called by God means what you are experiencing today, your past has nothing to do with God's calling. God never consults your past to determine your future, no matter how difficult, how bad, how rough it is. God has come to bring a radical transformation for your life. Now, let's go to Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. We take Paul as example today. Paul said, let me start from verse 11. I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 13, for you have heard my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. Verse 14, and I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous, not just zealous, exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. Verse 15, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son to me that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. We listen to what Paul is saying. The person was persecuting the church is testifying how his life radically transformed by God. He said he was extremely zealous. He said he didn't receive the gospel from man. I believe, and the scripture is very clear, Paul knew that he had a calling. He was predestined. He had a calling to serve God. He knew that. When you have a calling, there's something in your heart. Something is burning. A desire for the things God called you for. There is something that prompts you to have joy. You have the heart desire to do this thing with joy and love. He knew that he has a calling from God. But the thing he lacked, he didn't know the God he was serving. Sometimes you can have a calling from God, but if you don't know his ways, you can miss that calling. That's why the Bible says in Matthew 22, verse 14, many are called, few are chosen. How can Paul say, verse 15, that God called him from the womb of his mother to preach the gospel? So why did he fight the gospel? Because he wasn't aware of that. You have to discover it later. There is time to discover the calling of God. There is time to discover the gift of God in your life. At God's appointed time, the Lord will open your eyes. And you will see. Saul knew that he had a zeal for God. What did he do? He followed the tradition of the Pharisees. And he said, clearly, when you go to Acts chapter 22, let me go to Acts chapter 22, from verse 22, we talk about Paul. We all go through the same process. Yes. Right. Paul said, Acts 22, from verse 1, brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now. And when they heard that he spoke to them in Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. Then he said, verse 3, I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law. He said the gospel he received, he never received it from man, and nobody taught him the gospel. That's what he said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 14. But he, in this place, he said, from man he received the law, and he was taught by a man, Gamaliel. He followed his tradition because he has a calling. Sometimes you have a calling from God. You need to go to the right place. You might be led by God to enter the calling of God in your life. Otherwise, you can take a wrong direction. The calling was there, a zeal to serve God. He went to Gamaliel. He followed the tradition to learn the law of Moses, which is good. But that meant he learned it from the feet of Gamaliel. Something was lacking. Many are called, few are chosen. Why? Because of the processing of God. That makes a difference. If God called you, you have to go through the processing of God, not the processing of man. You have to go through the processing of God, not the processing of an institution, but the processing of God himself. Because those whom God called for any service, God will make you fit for that service himself. You can have a calling. I can go to theological school, learn the Bible, have a diploma, have a degree. But did I go through the process of God? The process of character. God will never bypass our character because we are earthen vessel. We are weak. Therefore, between the calling and the fulfillment, you have to go through the processing of God to make the vessel fit for service. With the character Saul had, with the zeal he had a zeal without knowledge. He was ready to destroy every person because he didn't understand. That's why Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. He said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, that he was doing this in ignorance. He was ignorant. When you have a calling and you don't know the God you are serving and you don't know his ways, you can make terrible mistakes. When we engage the flesh, we follow our mindset, we may make a terrible mistake. Because you have to go through the process of God himself. So Paul has a zeal. He was a Pharisee. He followed the law of Moses. But he never knew at that moment he was called to serve Jesus. He was standing against Jesus. What happened? When you are called, there is something that God will do. We call it revelation. You have to discover whom you are by revelation. You have to discover whom God is, what is his purpose. On the way to Damascus to stop the gospel, to persecute Christians, that was his journey. Jesus met him on the way to Damascus and the light came from heaven. He fell on the ground. He saw the glory around him. He said, who are you, Lord? The answer from God said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. His eyes opened. He had a revelation of God he never had before. He was serving a God he never knew. When revelation came, immediately he surrendered. He said, Lord, what do you want me to do? An instruction was given to him to go to a certain place, and then they would tell him what to do. Called, justified, glorified. These are the three steps. But you may be predestined. Every one of us, we have something in our heart that God has put in our heart. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11 called, God has put in our heart the sense of eternity. Every human being, whether you believe or not, whether you like or not, God said there is a sense of eternity in the heart, in the spirit of every human being. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. Sometimes something will tell you deep inside your heart. This call is something is burning inside your heart, but your mind will not can understand it. That thing will propel you to do something you like. Your heart is turning towards something specific. You begin to like to do this, you have joy, but you don't know there is something God is prompting in your heart. He has to do the sign of his calling in your life. Paul went to Gamaliel because he thought that was the direction of God's calling for him. He learned at the feet of Gamaliel, who was extremely zealous. We can see by the way he persecuted the church and rejected the gospel of Jesus. He never knew he was predestined to be like Jesus Christ, to serve Jesus, until revelation came on the way to Damascus. The light came. When the light came, his spiritual understanding opened. The eyes of his understanding opened. The veil is removed. He discovered the truth. He discovered himself. When you have a revelation of Jesus, of God, you will first discover yourself and discover the calling and gift of God in your life. When Jesus and Ananias said, "Hey, Lord, this man is a bad man. This man is doing this to Christians." Jesus said, "Hey, he is my chosen vessel." Jesus revealed his purpose to Ananias. Immediately, Ananias' eyes were open. He stopped seeing this man as an enemy. He stopped seeing him like a wolf, and he saw a brother. He came, obeyed the vision, and said, "Brother Saul." That's what he said. There's a processing of God. You may have a calling. Deep in your heart, there is something, a picture of your future is in your heart. You need to water it, to pray over it, till God bring revelation of his purpose in your life. The day you discover your purpose in life, the day you discover the gift of God in your life will never be the same. You will be focused. You will walk in the right direction, not influenced by any person, any man. You'll be influenced by the leading of God. You will listen to the prompting of your heart. You will listen to the voice of destiny. You will listen to the voice of the Holy Ghost in your heart. You become a person of conviction deep within you. Deep within you, there is a conviction, there is a hand of God. So, the right knowledge of God brings about the right calling. You must know the God whom you serve. Paul discovered himself at that moment. When Ananias came to him and prayed for him, the Bible says this was blind, scales came out of his eyes. And he saw the truth, discovered the truth, and surrendered to the truth and became a minister of the gospel of Jesus by revelation of Jesus direct from heaven. That's why he said in Galatians chapter 1 verse 11 that the gospel he preaches, he never received it from man, not by man. No man called him, no man qualified him, no man taught him. He received it direct from God, straight from the Most High God. And then he discovered he was called by God from the womb to do what he was doing. He became a man with a sense of destiny. That is why our past is not important before God. God will never consult your past to determine your future. A man that is labeled bad by everybody today can be the best tomorrow. God is not a man to judge as man does. You look at your future, at your heart, what is embedded. Who will tell you the sword can become the greatest apostle? A man of love, a man of faith, who paid the supreme price for the gospel of Jesus. So the processing of God, predestined from the womb, called by God, justified. What's the meaning of justified? When God called you, he will make you fit. He will bring a radical transformation of the way you think, or the way you talk, or the way you behave, God will take control of your life. That's what we call discipleship of Christ. The disciples were called by Jesus. Peter was the fisherman. The Lord called him. He left the seashore and followed Jesus and entered the pool, the processing of God, and later became fishers of man. Now the question is, many say, how will I know what is my calling? If you learn to listen to your heart, you will never ask any person what is your calling. If you learn to listen to your heart, you will have an independent mind. You will not be influenced by any person. Many have been influenced in the wrong direction by listening to man. Man will tell you, you are this, you are that, you are that. But did God tell you that you are that thing? Yes. Did God speak to you, or man is the one speaking to you? That's the question. Whatever a man can tell you about your destiny must be confirmed by the testimony of your heart, the testimony of your conscience, if you are truly called by God. Listen to your heart. When you listen to your heart, you become a person of conviction. When you're in a mind of conviction, you have an independent mind. A mind is not influenced by any person. A mind is determined to find out the truth from the Holy Spirit himself. He will open your eyes. You become a person of purpose. You will have a goal. You have a conviction. And you walk in the direction of God's calling for your life. You have a sense of destiny. A sense of destiny. When you see somebody excel, best among equal, such a person has listened to his heart. If God has called you to be a musician with a difference, and you listen to your heart, you will see the gift of God in your life will make you to excel above the ordinary person. You will become a musician with a difference. If God called you to be a designer with inspiration from God, special anointing will come. And you become a designer with a difference. Like Bezalel and Oholiab, the two men that designed the instrument of the tabernacle of Moses, because they were called by God for such assignment. The question, are you called by God for what you are doing in your life? Are you listening to man? Are you pleasing man, or you are listening from God direct? This is the year of increase. Do you believe God will speak to you? God can speak to you? Or it's just philosophy? If it is philosophy, waste our time. But it's not philosophy. When you enter the secret place, when you learn to engage your heart, your conscience, when the Holy Ghost comes at the right time, he will open the eyes of your heart. It may be through a vision like Paul. It may be through a dream. It may be through a word. A person may speak to you, but God will tell you the same thing, and your heart must agree. That's why the Bible says, test any prophetic word given to you to know whether it's from God or not. If a prophet tells you this, your heart must agree. God is not a God of confusion. He will put in your heart the right thing. He will speak to you first. If I'm called by a master to serve him and I don't know him, how can I serve him? We serve God with our lives. We are talking about God and the ways of God. I'm not talking about the ways of man. Are you a servant by man, from man, or a servant from God, and by God to follow the processing of God and the process of human beings? We serve God with our lives. Go and read Romans chapter 1, verse 9. You can see that all the disciples of old in the Bible, they followed Jesus wholeheartedly. They were completely focused. Why? Because they had a sense of destiny. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, God put in their heart a sense of destiny. Many was waiting for that. In the book of Luke chapter 2, there was a man called Simeon. The scripture says that old man, God made him a promise that he will not die until he see the coming Messiah. That's what the Holy Ghost told him. He believed it. It became a conviction. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That's what the scripture says, Luke chapter 2. When the time came for God to fulfill the vision, he was moved by the Holy Ghost to go to the temple. When the Holy Ghost is leading you, you will never miss an appointment with God. Never. He knows when your heart is ready. He knows when people are ready. He will lead you where people are ready to receive you. When you are led by the Holy Ghost, you never cast your seed on the wrong place. You will never go to the wrong place. You will go to the right person, ready to receive you, led by him. Immediately, Simeon entered the temple on the day of dedication, 8 days of Jesus. He saw this boy, this baby. Immediately, Holy Ghost say, this is the baby. This is the Messiah. Saul, the first king of Israel, time came. The nation asked God, we want to have a king, our own king, according to the choice of man, not the choice of God. God said, okay, you want a king. I will help you. I will choose you a king according to the standard of man. I will choose the tallest, the strongest, the most handsome, the most beautiful, a man that have all the quality on the outside. Talented, speaking skills, everything. And God chose Saul, the son of Kish. But Saul never knew that he was called to be a king. One day, God and sin hand moved him to go to look for the lost donkeys of his father's Kish. And he went from places to places. But as he was moving to look for something different, God spoke to prophet Samuel. He said, tomorrow at this time, I'm bringing a man to you. I want you to anoint him to be the leader of my nation. Samuel was a prophet. Samuel was a man of purpose of revelation, and God revealed to him his purpose in the life of this man coming. He's coming to see you tomorrow. He's coming to see you as he comes to see a witch doctor. He doesn't know whom you are. You think he's a witch doctor. You see, we're looking for donkey. When he came the next day, when Samuel caught sight of Saul, the Lord said to him, this is the man I told you yesterday. And immediately, he spoke to him what God had in the life of Saul to make him a king. But Saul never went through the process of God. He doubted. But the purpose came because of people Israel asked for the kings according to the ways of man, and God gave them. What happened? He never went through the processing of God, really. And that's why we know what happened to him. He missed the mark, disobeyed God, and the kingdom was lost. But God, at the same time, God saw a young boy called David. David had a sense of destiny as a small boy. He was behind the sheep. God was busy processing him beyond the views of every human being. He was unnoticed. But he said one thing, that when he was tending to the sheep, when the lion came, the bear came, he was able to kill the lion and the bear. So God was busy building relationship with this young shepherd, whom God called from a shepherd of animals to the shepherd of Israel. David had a sense of destiny. When he was called, when Samuel came, the anointing came immediately. David ventured into God's calling for his life. You must be predestined. We are predestined, everybody. You must be called. I believe every single person is called to do what is right in the sight of God. But the problem is justification, glorification. Are we following the right process? Are we going to the right place we are destined to be? Are you following the process of God to learn to walk with the Holy Ghost? Why do we need processing? How can I be led by the Holy Spirit if I don't learn his ways of doing things? Immediately Saul received salvation in Acts chapter 9. Saul said he went to the wilderness of Arabia and began to talk about Jesus. But later in Acts chapter 13 verse 2, when the time came, God said, call me Saul for the work I've called him. Holy Ghost said, set me apart Saul and Barnabas. And the elders came, they pray and lay hands on him. Then the gift of God came mightily in his life. And then he began to go for apostolic ministry. We're going to see the gift begin to overflow in his life. Go and read the Bible. What do we need? We have a calling. We have a predestined. I believe every single person who is a Christian, born again, there is a purpose of God in your life. It is your duty to sit down and find out the goal of God for your life, not to be a follower of man, but seek God for your life, his purpose. God is real. He's looking for somebody who is sincere, honest with him, who look for his face and you will find him. Not for selfish reason, not for classic reason, not for material reason. But if you allow God to lead you, a time will come that God will open your eyes and you will discover the truth, and your life will never be the same. You must be predestined. John the Baptist, the Bible says, go read the book of Luke, chapter 1, the calling of God for your life, a sense of destiny. What is predestined? Predestined means from your womb of your mom, you are born with the calling of God deep inside of you. Paul knew, he said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, 11, he was called from the womb, but he never knew. If really he knew the calling in Christ Jesus, he would have behaved differently. But he has to go through the processing of the Most High God to discover the truth for his life. Now you can see one can have a calling here. This is calling. And there is a gift to go with the calling. Let me explain. When you are called by God, whatever he called you to be, a pastor, an evangelist, whatever, God will give you the authority that goes with it. If in a government somebody is called to be a minister, you receive an authority, a portfolio. And the authority you receive, here God will give you the word. Inspiration will come because of that. Mean that authority will not be exercised at your own will, by God's will. You will receive revelation, inspiration from the Holy Ghost to give you what type of assignment you have, what time of ministry the Lord is giving you. Is it prophetic? Is it evangelist? Is it pastor? Is it teacher? He will reveal to you here. Once you have the revelation of this, there's one thing to say, I'm called. There's something to know what you're called for. Another thing is the empowerment to fulfill that calling. Jesus called the 12 disciples. In Luke chapter 9, he gave them assignment. Assignment does not mean you have a ministry. Assignment is a temporary task. You send them, they pray, they saw a miracle happen. In Luke chapter 10, they say, hey, Lord, we saw a mighty thing happen. And Jesus said, don't rejoice because demons are subject to you. Rejoice because your name are written in heaven. Mean there is a calling and there is a fulfillment of that calling here. Jesus asked them to tarry till the Holy Ghost come at the same time of Pentecost. They went through the processing of discipleship. Jesus taught them his word, sent them on assignment. They knew the calling over their life. He called the 12, but said to them, you are not ready yet to serve me. Wait. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and Acts chapter 2. Now, what needs? Authority has no meaning without power. If I have authority, I must have power to exercise that authority in an effective way. That's what we call anointed servant of God. When you have authority plus the power that goes with it, you become an anointed servant of God. Mean called by God, justified and glorified, and you become anointed. You'll be able to fulfill the task God has called you. Whether apostle, whether prophet, whether evangelist, whether pastors, whether teachers, that is ministry. Those whom God called for any service, God give them power and make them fit for that service. It's a process. We talk about God. Who anoints you is Holy Spirit, is God. Anointing is the coming of the Holy Spirit in your life. Who gives Holy Ghost? He comes from heaven, not from the earth. It's God that gives you. Effectively, you can use the medium of a man to anoint you, but the anointing comes directly from God Almighty. So, are we willing to go through the processing? So, how can somebody receive the empowerment without the processing? It is impossible. You cannot fill a bottle without a bottle. You need to bottle, the vessel must be ready before you fill it with life. So you have a calling from God, the processing. Go and read and meditate on Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to 30. You will know in the midst of your situation, in the midst of your darkness, all things work for good for those whom God has called. You may be in a bad situation. You may be doing something not good. And people are labeling you, rejecting you. But at God's appointed time, God will redeem your past. And the wolf can become a lamb. That's the gospel of Jesus. We have seen drunkard becoming sober. We have seen liars becoming truthful. We have seen people of anger become self-control by the power, by the work of Holy Ghost. The vessel must be ready. God must strip you, melt you, remove all the character that can grieve the Holy Ghost in your life. God will teach you his ways of doing things, his way of thinking, his way of speaking, his way of acting. That's the work of Holy Ghost. And when the time, that's discipleship, has to be his character. Our ways needs to be reformed. Our way of thinking needs to be reformed to match the standard of Jesus. He rebuked Peter when he was going to the cross. Peter said, hey, don't go that way. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You think like man, not like God. Jesus said, loves your enemy. It is impossible for the flesh, but that is the way of the Spirit. That's the way of Jesus. If you are a Christian, you don't have any enemy. You don't see any man as your enemy. Doing that is a sin. If you are a Christian, you are called to bring a change in people's life. You are called to pray for people. You are called to be an instrument of grace. Ananias was absolutely upset because the character of Saul wanted to destroy a Christian. And he argued with God. But the moment Jesus revealed to him who Paul is, his life, his perspective changed immediately. The person who is bad today can be the best tomorrow after the processing of God. The person who is written off by everybody, rejected by everybody, after the processing of God, can be the best tomorrow. A young boy, rustic boy, David, who was in the gathering of the sheep, after the processing of the Holy Ghost, he became the greatest leader the nation of Israel never had. A shepherd, a king, a prophet. What is your purpose in your life? You need to sit down in this year of increase. Begin to communicate, dedicate yourself to God to ask for his purpose in your life. You need to discover yourself first. You need to discover the gift of God first. The moment you discover what God called you for, oh Lord, your life will change completely. When I was in the midst of my queries on December 28, 2021, I had a vision that shook me on my bed. I've never experienced, it was so real. The vision of the universe of God you have seen. I knew that this is God. I knew this, nothing can change. That is God for you. I was shaking on the bed. And I walked in the direction of God's calling for my life, in obedience of God. You have to obey God. Paul said, if I want to please man, I can never serve God. The question is, what do you want to do? If you have a call from heaven, you must go through the process of heaven. You must be led by the Holy Ghost to enter the divine destiny the Lord has for you. And that's all by faith. Go and look at all the apostles. There's one, Judah. Judah was called like everybody else. He was given the grace. Many are called, few are chosen. Why? Judah never submitted to the processing of Christ. His heart was not ready. His heart was for selfish, classic materialism, not for heaven's sake. John chapter 6, verse 17, Jesus gave the judgment on the heart of Judah. It wasn't ready. It was so the outcome. But if you are predestined by God, you have to go through the calling of God. You have to pray. It happened to everybody. I went to so many places to look for the calling. Something was burning in my heart. The day of my encounter with Jesus, on 21st of August, 1994, on my room in France, in Paris. I can never forget it in my life. No bus, nobody was there. I did not see him. The presence came and my life changed forever. The moment you have that in your life, nothing, absolutely nothing will change your mind about what you believe. You need to have that experience with God. You need to seek him diligently. That's the promise today. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What are we seeking this year? What are you doing? What heaven has called you to do in your life? Are you sure you're doing the right thing? It is never too late. Begin to seek the face of God. Begin to pray and ask God to visit your life, and God will do it. When the time comes for God to fulfill his purpose, there will be a driving force. A driving force will come that you cannot resist. After I lived in France for 22 years of my life, I was happy for what I was doing. One day, everything became like rubbish for me. Just like Paul said. When your heart begins to yearn for what God has put in your heart, destiny, nothing else will have importance for you. If you are called to be a fisherman, nothing else will interest you. You want to be a fisherman because that's what your heart desire is. If you are called to be a musician with a difference, nothing else can change you. You have to be, to walk in the direction of that calling, that voice ringing in your heart, and you will excel. So today I'm going to pray for that. We're going to pray. This is the year of increase. The first step of knowing the gift, the calling of God, is to discover your gift, to discover what God has made you for. It is important to know what God has made you for. Then you will know where to go. You will know what to do, what you are called for. The moment of revelation came in the life of Paul, his life changed forever. What he was rejecting, he discovered there is God. He was serving a God he did not know. The moment you have a revelation of God and his purpose in your life, your focus will change. Your attitude will change. Your thought will change. Your mind will change. God is waiting for everyone this year at the point of the Holy Spirit for increase. We have to believe. It is conviction between you and God. No human being, not me, no man can give you that faith. God. Set your heart upon God. This Bible will read. There's a mystery in this Bible. If we say it is philosophy, then it is worthless. It cannot change your heart. But this Bible is more than that. It's the seed that contains the gift of God in your life. It has been revealed by the Holy Ghost. It's the book that comes from heaven. If I open, my heart is open to read it by revelation, you will hear God clearly. And that seed, parable of the sower, Jesus Christ said it to you and me. My prayer for everybody is for God to give you grace and mercy, to open the eyes of your heart, to reset your belief in the reality of God, his work, his promises in your life. And the fulfillment is love. Love God and love your neighbor, and your life becomes balanced. You will begin to understand the purpose why God created you, spirit, soul, and body. You will have responsibility in the natural. You will have a job. You will have a work. You have family. You live in community. But you have the Spirit of God to work in accordance to God's way in your life. And your life becomes absolutely balanced and fulfilled. That is the purpose of God. In Jesus' name. Thank you. So please, this message is challenging you to come to the presence of God and begin to seek his face for your life. Ask God's agenda for you, his will, his purpose for you in sincerity of heart. And meditate till God gives you a clear light. And learn to listen to the voice of your heart. You're looking for something that is inside of you. Listen to the voice of destiny. In Romans chapter 9, verse 1, Paul said, I speak the truth. I am not lying. My conscience is bearing me witness with the Holy Spirit. We encourage you to move closer to God. If I were at your place, I would ask God to reveal to me my destiny. What is your purpose, Lord? What have you designed me for in life? Lord, am I in the right place? Am I in the right occupation? Am I doing what you have called me to do from heaven? Ask him and surrender to his way. And may you encounter God in your life today in Jesus' name. Amen. Beyond your situation, beyond your circumstances, lies the purpose of God in your life. It may be hidden, but may God open your eyes to see what you are destined to be. and your life will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen.